The temple. You know, obviously in different denominations, the temple might have different meanings, but I'm going to tell you some of the biblical versions of what the temple is all about and what it stands for, and that part of that is getting into who the temple is now and as God has created us to be. So let's pray. Let's start with that. Father God, we love you this morning. Grateful as always for that love that you pour out for us, Lord, as you have opened the windows of heaven and poured out on us through your Son, Jesus Christ, in abundance of the grace that is necessary for the life that we now live. And Lord, that you through your Spirit have connected us with you by our faith in you in a way that we then can live out the principles, the concepts that you have laid out in your Word, Lord. And we praise you for that. Thank you for this opportunity to get into your Word and to learn and grow in faith. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about the temple. And for starters, talk about how you are the temple, okay? And obviously, there's different descriptions of what the temple is, so I'm going to go through a couple of those first. But a temple usually in the Bible is described in several different ways. And most often, it was referring to the sacred house that was built specifically for worship of God, okay? It was the temple. It was the gathering place, the place where they were going to go and gather together. In the term temple in the Old Testament was used to describe the physical building. But then for us, as the believers, as the New Testament Christian, it takes on a much deeper meaning than that. It goes as far as saying that the temple, and it uses that word to describe Jesus Christ himself, his body, as the temple of God. Okay, so it went from this physical building, and then Jesus was the first one to say that he was the temple, and that my body, the temple. Let's just read that scripture, and then you'll know. It's John chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. It says, Jesus answered, said unto them, he said, destroy this temple, speaking of himself, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. They were thinking of the physical one. And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. Okay, so Jesus referred to himself, his physical body, as the temple of God. Okay, that was the first kind of inkling that it was going to be more than just that physical building anymore. Then also, the church as a whole ends up being described as the temple, a holy temple in the Lord. And so Jesus describes his body, and then he says, the body of Christ as a whole is also a holy temple unto the Lord. Let's read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. He says, now therefore, says you are no more strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So he's talking to believers. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, a reference to the physical temple, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So it is by faith, and we receive the Spirit, that that then forms us into the holy temple of the Lord, something that is designed for the worship and exaltation of God. So he says that about himself. Obviously, Jesus said his will was to do the will of his Father, to bring glory unto his Father's name. He was all about worshiping God, and that people would see him and be able to worship and know that they were worshiping God. And then he says the body of Christ as a whole is also fitly framed together with Jesus Christ as that chief cornerstone, the biggest, you know, set up in the corner part of it that holds it all together kind of thing. And he says, we are built as an habitation of God, that we are that dwelling place, that place designed for worship of God, and that ends up being us. Okay, so the most important description, though, of a temple that I want you to get from today, and what I want you to take away from it, is this. Okay, I want you to take away from it that you are described as the temple of God. You are, individually, you are described as the temple of God, a place designed for the worship of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us, he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Okay? Now, You are the dwelling place of God. You are specifically created for the worship of God. Most of you are thinking, and I can tell by your faces, you know, you're kind of doing this. Yep, it's God's in me. Most of you already know that I am a temple, that you are a temple of God, that God dwells in you. We've been taught that, most of us, from early on in our Christian walk, that Jesus will come into your heart. He'll save you. You remember some of you as little kids, and Jesus will come into you. He'll be your God, and He'll live in you, and He'll help you make the right decisions, and He's in you. So we've been taught that from an early age. But it's what the Apostle Paul states next that some of you have done your best to forget. Okay, we know that God lives in us, but what he says next is what so often Christians will try to avoid or to forget. 1 Corinthians 3:17, the very next verse. He says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." That's pretty strong words. That's pretty heavy, right? Oh, man. I'm the temple of God, but he says, any of you defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. That's pretty heavy. That's hard to handle. And so we don't want to think about that. We don't want to think about the temple. I'm the temple, but if I defile the temple, then it says God will destroy me. We don't like that comment. We don't like to think about words like that. To defile the temple simply means to destroy the temple. Okay, to destroy or defile the temple. And it can mean either in one foul swoop, one event, okay, where you just destroy the temple like a bomb going off just levels a building kind of thing. And that's destroying it in one day. Most often, though, the better description of defiling the temple is by allowing the temple to be contaminated to the point it is of no good or no use anymore. To allow that contamination to overtake and overrun it. To allow it to be destroyed slowly by allowing it to be contaminated. Okay, it would be like the temple was a lake. Here's just an example. But it'd be like the temple was a lake. And if anybody ever seen algae growing in a lake along the banks or different places, it begins to grow. We had a lake where I grew up called Lake Byron. It was about 3 miles from our house. We used to ride our bikes over there and all this stuff. And it had this beach. It was on pretty much the wrong side because it was a side where the algae always began to grow. And it would get so thick in there that we would go swimming and we would come home and we'd just be green, literally green. You know, it just kind of tint your skin from being in it. You know, it wasn't stuff you wanted to take a mouthful of. I mean, it was usually pretty bad. Well, in a lake like that, what happens is in that algae gets started, let's say it's like in one corner, and then it begins to spread and it begins to grow and kind of overtake that lake little by little, making it unuseful. Trying to think of my word that I used. It, just using it little by little, making it unclean and unfit a little bit at a time. But normally, in a lake like that, there is an abundance of fish, or the right kinds of fish, that will actually eat that algae. They thrive on it. They love that stuff. And so when there's the right kind of fish and you got some algae that's trying to take over the whole lake, and it will, if you've ever seen stagnant water, it'll fill up the whole thing. But if there's enough fish in there, they actually, the life of those fish depends on that algae. They actually eat it up and they keep it at bay so that it cannot overtake that lake. Okay? But when there's no fish in the lake, when there's no life in the lake can be overtaken. Okay? Now hang with me. Because before you go and begin to beat yourself up over the things that you have allowed, this contamination, I have allowed this into my life. Okay? Before you beat yourself up over the things you've taken into your body, thinking that smoking or getting drunk or eating things that are unhealthy for you is what the scripture is talking about, you need to remember this. You were created by God as a temple to worship God, but Jesus said very clearly that it is not the things that go into a person that defiles that person, but it is the things that come out of them that defiles them. Now, this is a concept. It's going to go against what some of you have thought of before. Some of you have tried to live a holy life. I got to clean my life up. I got to be better. I got to do this better, do that better. Then I'll be holy. Instead of living from the inside out, like we talked about, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? About letting the Spirit of God live through you. You're trying to affect it from the outside in. If I just change this and change this. Not saying this stuff, you don't want to get rid of some of this stuff. But when you're doing it from that way, trying to force the inside to comply, trying to make yourself holy, you'll spend a lifetime of frustration and never get there. You'll never get to quite that point. But as a Christian believer, I'm going to show you, you've got something in you that's already there. It's already perfect with God. Okay? You were created by God as a temple to worship God. But Jesus said it's not the things that go into a person that defiles him, but it's the things that come out of him. Read Mark chapter 7, verse 15. He says, there is nothing from without a man or outside a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. Okay, you know, like I said, this might contradict some of the way that you've been looking at life. To defile the temple of God is not so much describing the things that you take in, but it is the process of losing or lacking the worshipfulness. You're created to worship, so it's the lack of worshipfulness from the inside out. Remember that slow process of the algae overtaking the lake. If there's enough fish in the lake, the algae can't overtake anything. Okay? Remember Jesus said, if you clean a house, a strong man, you know, somebody can come into the house. If it's swept and garnished, it can be refilled. Okay? If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're full of God, the devil can't get in. He doesn't have a room or a place to come in there to be able to taint your life, to contaminate it. Okay? The scripture that we read a couple minutes ago says that the temple of God is holy. Okay? Other places in the Bible, God instructs us to be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay? But if I can look at my body, okay, don't look too close, but if I can look at my body and I can see little flaws here and there, right? I got a few holes in places that probably don't need holes. I got a few lumps in places that probably shouldn't be a lump there. Okay? I got a few flaws in my physical body. And if I can look at my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, if I can look at that part, I can tell you that it's still a little bit flawed. It's not real holy. Some of the I didn't get too bad, but some of the things I was saying to that bull yesterday were not holy. Trust me. Okay? Said out of an angry spirit. Okay? So if I can look at my body and it's not perfectly holy, and I can look at my mind, will, and emotions and think, man, I'd like it if they all lined up perfect and were holy with God, but sometimes they seem to kind of falter a little bit. If I can look at that, how then is it possible to be holy as God is holy? How is it possible for us to live the holy life that God is calling us to live? How can the temple of God that I am be a holy temple of worship? How can it be? This is why it is so important to understand the parts of you as a being and the parts of the temple of God. Okay, now we're going to look at the temple. That's what this was titled today. Because when you understand the parts of a temple, the temple of God, then you begin to look at and apply that to your own life, you can see how you can be holy as He is holy. Okay? It's important to understand the parts of the temple of God. God is a Trinity. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe that, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you, He is a Trinity. He's a triune God. Okay? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The temple of God is also made up of three parts. Okay? There's the outer court. There's the inner court. Some people call it the holy place. And then there's the Holy of Holies. It's the innermost part, the core, the place where God is. Okay? The outer court in the inner court of the holy place. They had some holy things in it. You know, the rod of Moses, some other stuff. There were some things that were in that outer, in the inner court. But once you got to the Holy of Holies, it was the very presence of God. It was God Himself. You are also made up of three parts. You have your physical body, the flesh and blood. Pinch yourself, see if you're alive, okay? Check your breath, are you breathing? Okay, I think most of you are. I don't see anybody nodding off yet. So you have your body, then you have your soul, which is described as your mind, will, and emotions, okay? It is the part that is changeable to a certain extent. You can change your mind about something. You can have a will that I will to do this, I desire to do these things, and that can change. And your emotions, anybody know your emotions can change from one day to the next? Okay, I haven't yelled at anybody today, so I can tell you, it's a little bit different. So your mind, will, and emotions are all part of that soul. But then you have your spirit, the place where God is. Okay, do you see the three parts of who you are? I want to show you some details about the temple. I have a picture of one, if it shows. I didn't draw this picture. I didn't write what the different parts were, but I want you to point out a few of the things here. You see down here, it says the beautiful gate. That's like the entrance. Okay, then the place where they stored the oil and the wood, the lepers, Nazarites, they had their places kind of outside the temple. They were, anyway, women's court, won't get into that today. Up here, you got, that's a whole sermon in itself. Place of slaughtering, okay? So you have a place of slaughtering, the laver, the ramp, and the altar where they were going to do sacrifices and stuff. Then you have a door, and this guy called it the door called life. Then you have a portico, the porch. Okay, then you have the door of the truth on the other side of the porch. Then you have the holy sanctuary or that inner court, the holy place. And then you get up there and there's a door called the way that gets into the holy of holies, into that place where God was. But look at this. Look out here, the court to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were outside of the temple of God. Why? A Gentile was an unbeliever. They were they that had not yet believed yet. Okay, that's how it's often described in the Bible. So the Gentiles were not made a part of the temple of God quite yet. I point out that we go through the beautiful gate as we enter in, because you're going to see this whole process of getting to the Holy of Holies is a beautiful process of God's grace. It wasn't something that we did. It's something that He made happen for us. Okay, notice who's on the outside. The Gentiles have not become the temple of God, but you, as a believer, have become the temple of God. Notice who's all the way in. If you look all the way up at the top, it says the court of Israel. Okay, it represents the people of God. Okay, the people of God are you and I that get all the way in, as far in as you can possibly go as far as being in the temple. Okay, all the way in the deepest part. That's where God has given you and I access to. Remember the three parts. You're the body, soul, and spirit. The place of slaughtering represents the body. That's the flesh and blood. That's where the blood was shed. That's the physical body part. And so that's the body. That's the outward part. Okay? Then you go through the doors of life and truth, and you enter into the sanctuary. So here's the door of life, and there's the door of truth, and you enter into the sanctuary. Sanctuary is what? It's a place that's set aside for God. Okay, a place that begins to, the beginning of being set aside for God. Okay, we enter through that door. It's a place that's set aside for God. Your soul, or your mind, will, and emotions are set aside for God. He has made you to be able to bring glory to His name. You have choices you make, right? We get to make some choices in that. That's that part that's set aside for God. We bring our body under subjection, the Bible says. We renew our mind by the Word of God. That holy place, the Word of God, we renew that. But we live from and communicate with God from our spirit, which is the Holy of Holies. It's the deepest part of us. Okay? We enter into the Holy of Holies through the door called the Way. Okay? This last door that they went through, right before they get into that Holy of Holies up to the top, he goes through the Way. Jesus Christ made the way possible, right? There's no way to enter into the presence of God, no way to be intimate with God without getting in through that final door. Jesus Christ made the way for us to be able to enter into heaven with God. Okay? We now have access to the Holy of Holies because of what Jesus Christ has done for us to make it so that we can now commune with God and live from our spirit. To get all the way into the Holy of Holies used to be reserved for the high priest alone. Once a year they would go, they would make the sacrifices for the people and for themselves, hope they were clean enough, and then be able to get into the Holy of Holies, to actually enter into the presence of God. Okay, the veil or the curtain that separated, that made that door, the way, the door through the way to get in to the Holy of Holies, was a curtain that was 60 feet wide, 30 feet high, and they say about 4 inches thick, about the width of a man's hand. They said thick. Okay, it was set up on purpose to keep the holiness of God separate from sinful man. That only those who were cleansed and clean and pure enough, the high priest, once a year after they had done all the sacrifices, purified themselves, they could actually enter in to the Holy of Holies. The Bible says that Jesus Christ tore down that wall of partition between us and God so that we can now enter into the Holy of Holies with God. We can now enter into His place with Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. It says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you that were sometimes were afar off, separated from God, you are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who has made both one, us and God one, and He has broken down that middle wall of partition between us and God." There is no longer a separation between us and God. It's not based on the outside in. Jesus Christ, by faith, made it possible for us to connect with God from the inside out. Our holiest place is that place where God dwells in us. It is in our spirit. That is what we connect with God. Understanding that you become the temple of God is crucial to your walk with Him. But it is just as important to know what is in the temple and what is not in the temple. There is no place. Let's go back to that slide of the temple. Can we, Bob? There we go. There is no place in here for things that are not dedicated to God. That's what's not in the temple. Not in the temple. Point to yourself, say, "I am the temple of God." Okay? There is no place in there for things that were not holy or going to be used as part of the holy consecration. Okay, the Day of Atonement was coming. That's what they would do, and they would have to go into that Holy of Holy places only on that Day of Atonement. Okay, but understanding what is not in the temple. There is no place in the temple for idols. Okay, it's a place that's designed specifically for the worship of God, so there is nothing allowed in it that is not holy or not of God. In other words, there's no idols. There's no trinkets. There's no whatever statues that are going to be worshipped along with God. Okay? Here's what the Christian does. "I'm the temple of God, but I brought all kinds of stuff into it that's not of God, and we worship it all at the same time." Okay? Unfortunately, we do a lot of that. Okay? There's nothing that's going to be worshipped along with God. Last scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians 6:16. He says, "In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Okay? So when you see yourself as designed and created for the worship of God, you were designed for that, and you realize that your entire being is the temple of God. It is inhabited by God. And when you realize that, it will begin to change the way that you live. What comes out of you And when it comes out of you as consistent worship, that's my life is about worshiping God. My life is about glorifying God. My entire being, my body, soul, and spirit is about worshiping God. It begins to change the way that we live. I don't want to bring idols into my temple anymore. Now I don't want to bring things in that are not healthy or, you know, that are leading me down a wrong path. I don't want to engage in things anymore that are not giving glory to God. When I was a young Christian, many know my testimony, but coming out of drugs and all that stuff, I remember doing drugs with these guys after I had gotten born again, and the guy come up to me at a party and says, "You know, you're such a hypocrite, man. You thought you were a Jesus guy now. Look at you, you're a mess." That was the last time I did drugs with that person or around them. Okay, that group, that party, that group of people. Because the conviction of God got so strong on me that he was right. The guy was absolutely right. I was not bringing glory to God. I went home, I cried my eyes out. God, change me. Do whatever you got to do. I don't want to be this way anymore. And God began to line up things and connect me with the right people, getting in church, getting saved, going to, you know, it all just began to click together because my heart was in such a place where I wanted my life to give glory to God. Not just on the outside. I mean, I could shine up and go to work and look good and do all that. Most of the people there didn't know all the issues I had behind the scenes. Because anybody can shine up. You guys can look good on Sunday. You know, we all can do that. But it has to go beyond that. So it's what's on the inside that if it's still coming out as stuff that is not giving glory to God, then I'm not there. I want to have more of that in my life. So when what comes out of you is consistent worship of God with your spirit, which always worships God, your spirit is perfectly in tune with God. There's no hindrance at all between your spirit and the spirit of God. Okay, it is connected and in tune. When your soul, which you are renewing with the word of God, when your soul begins to worship God with your mind, you're thinking on the things of God, your will, your emotions, things begin to be tuned in with the presence of God because I'm reading His Word. And then when things come up that are emotional, it doesn't get out of hand. Okay, I didn't lose my cool entirely with that bull yesterday because the presence of God through His Word has taught me about patience. It's taught me about standing in the presence of God no matter where or what I'm doing. Okay, so it didn't get out of hand. It wasn't real bad. I'm kind of making it bigger than it really was. But it was something that, you know what, God's Word in me had renewed and has renewed. It's still renewing. I confess that pride part, right? So it's still renewing my mind, will, and emotions so that it can worship God 100% of the time. And then your body, you bring that under subjection and you make your body worship God. You were here this morning because you brought your body under subjection and said, "I'm going to church this morning." Okay? So you're, for some extent, your spirit, your soul, and your body is what brought you here today. It got you all together. It connected with God to the point, yep, I'm going to go and grow. I'm going to go and be with God's people. I'm going to worship and do these things. And you forced it, your body to go into do that. There's others that didn't get all three to connect this morning. Maybe their mind or their body or something. Maybe they had a physical thing or different things. So there's some that are not here because they all didn't worship God together. Okay, when you do that and when you're living so that every area of your life is about worship of God, then you pay attention also to that algae, right? You begin to pay attention to what's trying to overtake your life and you begin to say, "No, I'm going to be so full of God that has no place in my life." Okay, when I went through and was coming out of all this background, all the loser life I was living at the time, man. When I was coming out of that, I listened to the Word of God on tape for hours and hours and hours every day. I threw away everything that wasn't Christian music. It just had to be worship. I didn't even like, a lot of the K-Love kind of music. I even went beyond that and said, "I really don't even want to listen to that. It's just pure worship. I want to make sure it's not casting crowns. It's not, you know, some of that. It's just worship." And just listen to that. Pump it in 24 hours a day. I used to listen to it while I slept. Told you guys before, I'd sleep with my Bible on my chest, hoping I could absorb it during the night. I mean, I wanted to be able to grow in the Lord. And by forcing all of God into my life, I brought my body under subjection, began to renew my mind. because my spirit already knew what I should be doing. It was already connected with God. And then it began to transform. And then pretty soon some of that other stuff, I didn't want it anymore. I wasn't going to let that into my life anymore. Okay, the life in me was eating up that stuff, saying, I don't need you anymore. And pretty soon I get to walk a different life, a better life. Okay, we're all in a different process, part of that process today. Okay, you're renewing your mind. You know, don't get down on yourself. You're not quite there yet. God has got that part. He's got your spirit perfect as it can be. Amen? Okay? Can't get any more right with God there. So now it's about letting the rest of it come in line. It's about letting those other two parts coincide with the Spirit of God that is in you. The Spirit of God knows the right thing. Amen. I'm going to quit there. Father God, we praise you in Jesus' name this morning. Father, we're grateful for the way that you have created us and designed us, Lord, for the ability to both have a free will, to make choices, to have a personality, to be who we are, to be interested in the things that we are, Lord. And yet your spirit is deep within us, in that deepest place, in our holy of holies, perfect, right with you, perfectly connected with you, so that we can understand and know the things that we are to do. Father, I pray that as we leave here today that we will have greater understanding of that and begin to seek to connect with you in the Spirit, not just by walking by the flesh, but to connect with you in the Spirit, understanding that your Word is life, your Word is spiritual worship. We worship you in the Spirit and in truth. It's all these things that are in you, that the more that we feed on and flood our life with, Lord, that those other things cannot come in and contaminate anymore. Lord, and from that, we'll live out a life of love. We'll live out a life of faith, looking at you and standing with and for you in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you. Grateful for this day. Thank you for a beautiful day you have made again, Lord. May you take us from here to shine as bright as a morning star, Father, to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God is good.